Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, former congressman for the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, a lot of excitement going on in the state of New Mexico this week. We're going to talk about that, but you're a busy chairman. How are you doing?
Well, we're doing really well, but it is a very busy time. Today's program is exciting. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the Floyd schools and how the Republican Party is playing there. We're going to talk about the coming lockdowns, Cheryl Stapleton resigning. We've got just a young single mom, April Marie Moya, who is up in Espanola. We've got a fascinating take where the governor is going to force her to step down as a Republican chair or be fired. And so we're going to talk about that. There's a great jobs report out, and we need to be talking about just who gets the credit for that and who doesn't get the credit for that. Stay tuned. We've got a lot. But first of all, that big jobs report that came out, a lot of people are saying, yeah, the Biden economy is taking hold.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yes, that's what he's saying. But what actually happened is the unemployment benefits are running out for people and they haven't go get jobs. And so, yeah, you've got more people looking for jobs. We've seen that job spike in other states where they shut off the benefits. The Republican states a couple of months ago shut off the benefits because your small businesses couldn't find anybody to work. And so they said, hey, we've got to restart our economy by putting people back in work. And so they shut off those extra benefits and people went out and got jobs. Well, that's what's happening Nationwide. And so Biden can crow about it all he wants, but he's still got the worst inflation in decades that he's put into place. We still are printing money at such a rapid pace that that inflation is going to continue. We still are outsourcing jobs. When Trump was bringing back manufacturing jobs, those jobs are now blowing back the other way because people are saying it's more friendly to operate in other countries than here. It's a very simple process when companies decide to be here or there. It's which one will return the greatest benefit to our shareholders. It's actually quite a simple decision. And with all the restrictions that are coming in from the Biden administration, companies are electing, they're voting with their feet to leave this country. And we're going to see that as long as Biden and his radical administration are in charge.
One of the things in this infrastructure bill that they're trying to push through eliminates the Made in America rule, which will get rid of even more jobs. You know, I remember you and I talking about that rule when you were in Congress.
That is exactly right. When I was in Congress and we would look and see that the Chinese were providing very key elements of our defense department, all the weapons, the high-tech avionics, the guidance systems for our missiles, when you're getting those from the Chinese, you better worry about it. We see that they can spy on us with TikTok, but just imagine if they're putting internal components into our weapons systems, then you know the real risk in outsourcing so much. And so the Biden administration is giving a verbal assault to the Chinese, but when you look at what they're actually doing, they're giving them great benefits for their economy and punishing ours.
Yeah, and that was the opposite just, 8 months ago?
Yeah, it's when Trump was in office, he was all America. He said, we're going to make America great again by reestablishing the manufacturing. We're going to bring our jobs home. We're going to start insisting that our friends and those people who are not our friends live by the rules of the World Trade Organization, that we have fair trade, not just free trade. And so he rewrote many of the trade agreements. I was in Congress and I found it curious that when we were negotiating free trade, we were already giving the other countries free trade into ours. The free trade agreement was trying to get us access to their markets at the same level which we had them coming here. And so American leaders have sold this country out for decades, and it's time for us to step up and start getting fairness into the international trade market.
There is a small school district in New Mexico, a little town called Floyd, and the school district would not mandate that you had to have the vaccine and wear a mask to school. You could if you wanted to, but that was your personal choice. And the governor, I guess, didn't like that idea and fired the school district. I'm not even sure she's allowed to do that. Tell us about that.
Well, the Floyd School Board was deciding correctly that, hey, they're elected by the local population to be in charge of the local schools. And so this is all about local control. When the governor says that we're going to control every school district from Santa Fe, when then her education department supposedly fires all of the school board, that's going to be a great case. Republican Party of New Mexico, first vice chair, Robert Aragon, is actually on that lawsuit. He's one of the lawyers in the room defending the Floyd schools. And it is time for us to stand up as people and fight back. You can make your own choice about vaccines. You can make your own choice about masks. I don't think anyone is trying to assault that decision. But what we are saying is that local control is what this is about. The local school board should be able to dictate the policies of that school. If the governor can come in and mandate every single action by schools, then we no longer have local control of education. We see where that's going. The critical race theory is being taught in our schools, being mandated by the Public Education Department of New Mexico. Here we have the worst performing schools in the nation, number 51. We're even behind the District of Columbia. And yet our governor is focused not on the education, not on the well-being of her students, but she's focused on saying that we're going to tell you how to work and to live, and we're going to tell you small schools what to do. You remember when COVID actually started, many of the rural communities and many of the rural counties had zero cases of the COVID, and yet she shut down the businesses in their counties to where people had to drive into Albuquerque and thus be exposed to the COVID. So it was a radical decision then, and what she's doing with the Floyd schools are radical now. I will tell you that we in the Republican Party are standing side by side with the Floyd schools, but we're also out recruiting other school districts to stand with them. There comes a point at which the PED cannot take over schools and manage them. To tell you the truth, they can't manage what they've got right now. It's one of the most poorly administered agencies in the entire state. They've now gone through three cabinet secretaries in 2.5 years. No one believes that they can actually solve the problems. The unions are in control. They demanded that they not have to go back to school, that they get paid for staying home. When parents saw what was actually happening in their child's education, that's when you started getting the rebellion. That's when you started having people stand up and say no more. So we'll see how far that this goes, but I know that there are attempts to file injunctions and stop this action until courts can decide on the constitutionality of it. And again, RPNM's first vice chairman is involved in that lawsuit, so we're able to watch it very closely.
I am talking with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. If you have some ideas on this discussion, you can contact Steve through the website at www.gopnm.org or call party headquarters at 505-298-3662. We'll be back with more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of our Republican Party, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I'd like to get your response on a press release that came out from the Democrat Party of New Mexico. Despite leaders across the political spectrum encouraging Americans to get vaccinated, New Mexico Republicans have been largely silent on the issue. As low vaccination rates continue to threaten public health, prominent GOP gubernatorial candidates and party leaders have refused to join the effort to encourage New Mexicans to get vaccinated. The implicit endorsement of anti-vaccination efforts by New Mexico Republicans like Steve Pierce, Rebecca Dow, Greg Zanetti, and Jay Block raises significant questions about the GOP's plan for leading New Mexico during the public health crisis. What do you say?
I say that the Democrat Party, the governor of New Mexico, the president of the United States are remaining silent while there's a super spreader event happening at the border. They're allowing thousands of people to come in every day. They're testing them. They know that about 50% have COVID.
Well, they can only test the ones they catch.
Yeah, they only test the ones they catch. And of the ones they don't, those people are also infected. And they put people on airplanes and buses and they send them all over the United States during the darkness of night. and they're spreading this COVID throughout the entire U.S. We wonder why we're getting a spike. It's because the southern border is completely open. The Biden administration has opened it up. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham is refusing to say a word about it. And the Democrat Party is remaining totally silent. So when they get active on shutting down the super spreader event, then maybe we don't have to worry about shutting down schools. Maybe we don't have to worry about mask mandates. Maybe we don't have to worry about the health of the country because we have stopped the super spreader event at the southern border.
Cheryl Williams Stapleton has resigned from the state legislature. What do you see happening next?
She's resigned, but now it's going to be whether or not she's actually prosecuted. What we see is this corruption exists in the Democrat Party. The culture of corruption exists in Santa Fe throughout the agencies and in the governor's office all the way down through the elected officials, and nobody ever has anything happen to them. If they get discovered and if pressure gets high enough, well, sure, they'll step down from their office. But the evidence is that somewhere between $5 and $10 million was taken out of the public schools and sent through these shadow corporations that she had. She's claiming that even though she resigned, that she's not innocent of all the charges, but she's going to step down anyway.
Well, she didn't step down from Albuquerque Public Schools, though. She's on administrative leave. She stepped down as a state representative.
That's correct. Again, we'll determine how insistent that the attorney general is in cleaning up the corruption if he actually prosecutes this and the other cases of corruption that many people know to exist. And so we'll just see how insistent the Democrats are on cleaning this up, or if it's just a head fake by the Democrat Party.
This would still be going on, except that Albuquerque Public Schools procurement officer Renette Apodaca did her job, and the new APS superintendent Scott Elder backed her up when they discovered what was going on.
Well, like you said, it's gone on for years, so thankfully somebody brought it to the attention. I'm very interested to see how he actually gets dealt with in his performance reports and in his tenure there at the Albuquerque Public Schools. But thank him. I appreciate him standing up and saying, wait, we can't continue to do this.
Talking about Santa Fe, as you mentioned, we're seeing a spike in the coronavirus with this new Delta variant. Are we going to see lockdowns again? Or you think she'll lock down the state? Our governor is making motions like she might.
I'm seeing a lot of chatter coming out of people who generally know what the governor is going to do. They've got inside knowledge, and they're saying absolutely that a lockdown is coming, maybe this month, maybe next month, but that it's coming. If that's the case, then it's going to be a tremendous blow to the economy and to our schools, to our children, to us personally. You're already seeing an out-migration from the state, and you're going to see a tremendous out-migration when she locks us down again. And again, we're getting that spike because of the open border that we have. They can't tell us that they're not sending people across the entire country. Austin has got a tremendous problem. They're inviting people in. They're creating places for them to stay. They're creating these camps there. And so you wonder why Austin is a hot spot. The governor of Texas is trying to do what he can to say, wait, we shouldn't be doing this. We should be concerned about the health of the people. But the Democrat control of Austin says, no, we're going to bring them in and we're going to place them here. So this health situation is going to get much worse as long as we have that open border.
I can just see the Republican candidate for governor next year using that as a campaign slogan. I will not lock you down.
I think that's going to be very powerful. People have had it with the lockdowns worldwide. The conclusion is that the lockdowns did no good. In fact, they hurt people. The damage to the psychological and financial welfare hurt people far worse than COVID would have hurt them had we not locked down. Again, I simply go to my friend in South Dakota, the state populated very similarly to New Mexico, and she never locked down, never had a mask mandate, never declared essential businesses, never did any of that. The infection rate, the mortality rate was very similar to the one that we have here, and we had the worst lockdown rules in the entire country. And so, no, the lockdown is going to do no good, and it should be a very important part of any gubernatorial run. In a side note, we have a real travesty occurring right now. April Marie Moya is a young single mom. She happens to be the chairman of the Republican Party in Rio Riba County. Just a very strong, principled Christian young lady. And she also works for the state. So the state notified her 3 or 4 months ago that they were going to terminate her if she continued on as Republican Party chair. What are they afraid of a single mom in Rio Riba County? It's the heaviest blue county in the entire state. What are they afraid of? So April Marie Moya is being told to resign or else. She was placed on administrative leave with pay, and she said, I'm not giving up that. You don't have the right to tell me what my freedom of speech is and what it's not. Then they put her on administrative leave without pay. I talked to her just yesterday, and she was within 2 weeks of losing her house. As I was talking to her, she had people in the home. She was selling furniture and things, just trying to figure her way forward, standing on principle instead of letting the state beat her into submission. So I'm not sure exactly where she's going with this whole dispute, but it's something that all of us should be aware of. If they can tell a young single mom that we're going to fire you and you're not going to have a way to make a living if you don't sit down and shut up. That's what we're seeing with the tech companies. They are censoring our freedom of speech as conservatives. And now then one of the state agencies is doing the same thing. I think April Marie Moya is going to get a lot of money from the state because I think they're violating her constitutional rights. But in the meantime, she's got to figure out how to pay rent and whether or not to give up her freedom of speech. Such a spirited young lady, like I said, a single mom. She's tackling all these problems and she's not whining about it. As I was talking to her, she's very positive. Her faith is very strong. She's not discouraged. She's not beat up. She's not bruised. She's not sitting down and getting quiet. She just is resilient, and she's what makes this country great. And when we beat people into submission like that, shame on the state for doing that. We need strong young moms. We need strong families. Shame on the state and shame on the governor for letting it happen. They're doing the same thing to Jill Jones. She's the one that reported the illegal things that CYFD was doing. Now they're suing Jill Jones, saying that she was unfit. No, she's the one who's telling what's going on. So the state continues to use its boots to step in the neck of the people. And I'm just thinking that everyone, Democrats, Republicans, and independents eventually are going to make this the issue.
I would expect then that if there are any Democrats who are chairs of their county parties, that they would then also have to resign if they work for the state of New Mexico.
Yeah, we'll start looking at that. But first, we have to take care of our own. And we need to hire investigators to go and look at every single person operative in the Democrat Party and make sure that the state is treating everyone the same. As we close out, had great events. Burgess Owens in the state last week for the Republican Party. That was a very good event. Burgess Owens is the new congressman from Utah, former NFL pro football player. Not just any pro football player, but he was a Super Bowl winner. So he had his Super Bowl ring there. And when we took our pictures, he'd take the ring off, put it on our finger, and we'd be there with the Super Bowl ring. But he is a staunch conservative, a black conservative, and runs proudly as a Republican. But he's lighting up the skies across America. People are loving it when he comes in to speak. He talks about having 12 losing seasons in his career. He came out of losing season in high school, losing season in college. Then he started playing for the New York Jets, and they were losing every year. Finally, he got drafted into the Oakland Raiders, and it's under the leadership of the Oakland Raiders that a group of guys all like him, they had all been picked up and they were coming from losing teams, and they all looked at each other and said, we've never had a winning season in our life. It's time for us to win. And he said after 12 losing seasons, the 13th season was magic. They went all the way to the Super Bowl and won that. And it's just a real story of the American dream of people fighting through disappointment for 12 straight years. It was a great message for us all, and getting to visit with him was just fascinating. And then we also had Scott Pressler training candidates and teaching us how to knock doors. And just overall, a lot of good things happening in the Republican Party right now. A lot of good feelings and strong emotions as we move through this cycle into the gubernatorial race of next year. I have high hopes that the people of New Mexico are going to see our values as their values.
Thank you, Steve. I will be back in just a moment and talk with our congresswoman from the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Yvette Harrell, on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to talk with Congresswoman Yvette Harrell. She sent a letter to our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, asking her to send the National Guard to help protect our southern border. The governor of Arizona has sent the National Guard to the border, and the governor of Texas has sent the National Guard to the border to protect their states from illegal immigration. But New Mexico has not. So if you have a brain at all and you're trying to get into this country illegally, you're going to come through New Mexico. So I want to play this from the governor a couple years ago, and then you can tell us about the response you got from her just recently when you sent the letter. So let's listen to this.
Okay. We will not militarize the border. We will not use our assets, including the National Guard, in an inappropriate way. We will also not turn a blind eye to any New Mexican who is truly at risk and who needs resources that should be shared by the state and federal government to address these problems.
For folks that may not remember, the last time Michelle Lujan Grisham sent our National Guard to the border, they worked in support positions for the Border Patrol. They were not involved in law enforcement.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting because this week on Tuesday, I think it was the third letter I've sent to her asking for her to deploy our National Guard troops to the southern border because we know we have a crisis at the border. We know that the Border Patrol agents are overwhelmed and a lot of them are being pulled off the border so that they can do processing, they can do paperwork, and it leaves New Mexico very, very vulnerable. And as usual, she refuses to answer me direct. There was some text or some kind of social post put out by one of her staffers calling me a xenophobe. Let's not play games about this. This is people's health. This is a crisis. The uptick in drugs. You don't have to go very far to look at the news and see 210,000 people made it across the border. Just in the month of July, we've already seen over 1 million people into the country illegally. And you know what, Derek, this is how I like to frame it. New Mexico has a population of just over 2 million, and now 1.2 million people have been let into the country illegally. That's half the population of our state. So if she doesn't think we don't have problems on the border, that's just a dereliction of duty, of responsibility, and of admitting that there's a problem. I'm concerned because, like you just mentioned, Texas is taking very bold steps to secure the border and the safety of the Texans and the American people. Governor DeSantis has sent resources to Texas, and I believe there are 7 or 8 states that have deployed National Guard troops to the southern border, but we just refuse to act. And it's just a mirror image of the incompetence that's happening in Washington, D.C. If they say we have an uptick in COVID cases, which we all know we do, we have another strain, this Delta, we see we have that. But here's the thing, 900% increase in COVID cases coming across our southern border just in the first 2 weeks of July. So that's a part of our major problem with seeing all this increase in COVID. And yet our governor and our president have turned a blind eye while we're holding Americans to a different standard. We're doing the mask mandates. Now they're pushing for mandatory vaccinations, all the while turning a blind eye to those that are coming here illegally who are bringing with them COVID, other infectious diseases, and we don't know what variant of COVID they may be carrying. So I think people in New Mexico and of the nation are getting very tired of this double standard.
They're putting our lives at risk, allowing people with the virus to come over. And then this came out just before we started our interview, a press release from the Democrat Party of New Mexico. Let me read this and then you can respond. Representative Yvette Harrell has broken her silence on the importance of vaccines this week and embraced conspiracy theories touted by far-right extremists. In a letter to Dr. Anthony Fauci, Harrell and other colleagues claimed that natural immunity is as valuable as vaccination in the fight against COVID-19. Harrell was also criticized for her decision to co-sponsor a bill that would withhold federal funding for New Mexico schools that require students or faculty to be vaccinated. Representative Harrell and the New Mexico GOP are becoming steadily more public with their efforts to undermine vaccination efforts, even as COVID-19 cases continue to rise. That, according to DPNM Chair Jessica Velasquez.
That poor, pathetic statement couldn't be further from the truth. Number one, they don't even have their facts straight. The bill that I co-sponsored is a very important piece of legislation. It simply says, and they obviously didn't read it, it says you can't discriminate against somebody because of their vaccine status. It also says that federal funding should be pulled from any, not just New Mexico schools, from any federally funded entity that will mandate vaccines when, number one, we're taking away people's individual rights. This should be an individual right. New Mexico has a 60% vaccination rate. I just heard that from the New Mexico Department of Health yesterday. So we're doing very well. Clearly, we'd like to see more people vaccinated. However, I have never said that I wasn't in favor of vaccines. I do believe that people have the ability to make their own decisions. And luckily for New Mexicans, we live in a state where they have access to the vaccination if they want it. If they don't, that's fine. If they want to wear a mask, I think that's great. If they don't, that's fine too. What I'm more concerned about is the true health and welfare of our citizens. And until we shut our border down and stop allowing those coming across our southern border that we know are bringing an uptick, a surge in the coronavirus, then I think that their accusations against me fall very, very flat. This is about closing our border, securing our border, shutting down the 900% uptick in COVID cases in the first 2 weeks of July. If that isn't a problem for the health and safety of New Mexicans and Americans, then I don't know what is. But here's the deal. It is a double standard. And right now, I trust the American people, the people of New Mexico, more than I trust our government. And I believe that every individual in New Mexico is capable of making an individual decision on what's right for them, for their health and safety, and for their families.
That was our Congresswoman from the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Yvette Harrell. If you liked what you heard on the program today and would like to learn more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that by checking out the website at www.gopnm.org. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to talk to someone in person, call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We'll look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.